But I wanted to just share a few things with you out of the book of John, chapter number 15. Again, I'm not going to try to preach a whole entire message this morning simply because I knew that I would be limited. But I wanted to share this in essence of a question. And what I wanted to ask a question as a title, if you will, is what are you connected to? What are you connected to? And the reason I said that is because you've heard it said in days gone by that birds of the feather flock together. Birds of the feather flock together. You will become a product of your environment. I've often heard it said, if you think about it, that you're a product of the places you go and the things you do and the people that you are associated with. I think there is an underlining understanding, even in the days that Jesus was writing, the way that Jesus actually wrote this. That as far as what the Bible says about abiding in Him, the Scripture reminds us, and the Bible says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I thought when Jesus was there with a young man by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, where Jesus actually confronted Nicodemus and he says these words. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. I heard it said one time that being born again is not turning over a new leaf. Because turning over a new leaf is only turning over a new leaf. That when you get born again, it's a brand new birth. The Bible says the old man is passed away and all things become new. One preacher said it like this, that when you get saved, it's such a life transformation that you actually love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. I told somebody here a few days ago, and I don't remember which conversation it was or who I was with at the time. I said, but truly to be born again and truly to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you've literally got to hate the things, which means detest or abhor, the things that God hates. Our world is living in a very twisted, warped ideology today. I heard this man say a few days ago from that little church down there in Charlotte. I think it's Central Church of God. His name's Loran. And for those of you that may not know where this church is, he said something the other day that got my attention. And I wanted to actually piggyback on that to talk about this. He said, being a Christian in America means different things to different people. He said, being a Christian oftentimes means that in your mind that you come to church, that you show up, you check the box. But to many, being a Christian also means that you're not a Jew, you're not a Buddhist, you're not a Hindu, or a part of any other sect or false religion that might be prevalent in our land today. And then he actually went on to say, that's not a Christian. To be a Christian, you've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. The Bible again explicitly reminds us that you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, that Jesus, you've confessed Him as your Lord and your Savior, your Master. So with that being said, this scripture came to my heart earlier in the week in John chapter number 15. And it talks about abiding in Him. It talks about being connected to Him, not just in your word, but actually being saved and being born again and giving your life and following after Jesus with everything that is within you. When you look in John chapter number 15, Jesus opens this up and He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus again was saying in John 14 and verse number 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Religion will tell you many pathways. Pluralism will tell you many pathways. We live in a very paganistic society in the day and the hour that we're living in. One person said that all paths lead to God. But may I this morning tell you there's only one path that leads to God. When Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan by John himself, and the Spirit of God descended out of the heavens and it lit where Jesus was at. And there was a voice that spoke out of heaven, the Heavenly Father, God Himself. And He spoke and He said, Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My friend, I didn't come today to be real preachy, but I feel it in my heart today that there are those in our world today that will lead you astray, that will tell you that all paths are the same, and all religions are the same, and all pathways will lead to God, but they won't, my friend. There's only one way. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Jesus came to give us life and life. John 10 and 10. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That Jesus, my friend, died that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. When you look in John chapter 15 and verse 1, He says, my Father is the husbandman, which means that God is the owner. God is the owner. We often hear Psalm 23 and we like to talk about Psalm 23. We love Psalm 23. He opens up and He says, the Lord is my shepherd. What does it mean when we say that Jesus is the vine and the Father is the husbandman? It's the same thing as David in the Psalms saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my owner. The Lord is my manager. He directs me. He leads me. He owns me. He guides me. He directs me. My friend, I ask you today, are you connected to the vine? So you're going to produce what you're connected to. The great connection. The great connection. You can ask yourself, my friend, really, really quick this morning. If Jesus is the vine, and we ask ourselves, what are we actually producing? What is the product of my life? Somebody says, I don't even like my life. I wish my life were to be so much different. You say, well, preacher, you're reading my mail today. It's okay, because people's told me this. I wish my life were so much different. And can I tell you today, my friend, your life can be different than it is right now. Anytime you're ready, to turn your life around. Anytime you're ready to put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters, anytime you're ready to put your hand into the hand, the Bible said he leadeth me beside the still waters. Today you've got to put your hand in his hand, and my friend, you've got to let him be the one to guide you. You've got to let him be the one to lead you. It's not what you want anymore, but we as the church, we are living in a surrender life, if you will, and we say, God, our Father, not my will, but thy will be done. When we look at this, and I know I really got to hurry this morning, but he begins to say this in the Word in verse 2, every branch in me, there it is again, he's in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it bring forth more fruit. Now, I know that I cannot get through this today, but that just simply means this, that if you are not bearing godly fruit, it actually reveals something much deeper than that, because it really reveals to us today what we're connected to. You say, well, how do we discern this? Now, this is going to be really rough, so y'all put your seatbelt on. You ready? You're the product of what's going on inside of your heart. It don't take long for you, and it don't take long for me, and it don't take long for anybody else to be able to discern what's going on in your heart. Have you ever met anybody and it just seems like everywhere you go is like Charlie Brown? There's a dark cloud over them. Somebody says, my luck run out. It's not about luck. But it seems like everywhere I go, it's just like there's a dark cloud over my life. My friend, I just simply say this, that I've seen people with that dark cloud over their life, and it seems like that their entire life is a life of confusion. It's like this all the time. It's just chaotic and it's crazy and it's confusing everywhere around. And it's like, when does it stop? It's like being on a gerbil wheel. It's like being on a merry-go-round, and that's the way I associate it. It's just round and around and around and around. Same things every day, same way. And I know for a fact that I've learned this in life, and I've been told this, and if nothing changes, nothing changes. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. So we think about this, and we look at the scripture and we think about what Jesus was saying. Jesus was actually saying, I want you to grow. And if you don't produce any fruit, he said, he'll cut you off. Somebody, sometimes, I know I'm getting a lot into a lot of deeper stuff, and I really didn't even want to get into this. Somebody says, will God send anybody to hell? The question is, how bad do you want to go to heaven? God don't send people to hell. Hell wasn't created for man. Hell wasn't created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, those that rebelled against God. But yet the righteousness of God, if you will, cannot, the righteousness of God, the righteous God, will not let unrighteousness into heaven. And that's another message for another time. But here's the greatest news of the day, that God said in the scripture, he says that he makes a way of escape. Nobody should ever say that God sent me to hell, or God is the author of the confusion, because the devil is the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And here's the seatbelt part today. Galatians chapter 5, and again, I don't have time to go into all of this, but he says, let me go into this first. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, this is very important, because this is the great connection right here. He says, abide in me. Look at your neighbor and say, abide in him. abide in me. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. There is a great connection. There's a beautiful connection between heaven and earth going on in this room right now. Jesus said, you want to have a good life? Jesus said, you want quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? The Bible said, you want to stop all the confusion today? You want to stop all the bad fruit today? You want to stop all the chaos today? My reply to you is simply this: get connected to Jesus, amen, and Jesus will turn your life around and He'll stop all that in your life today. He said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch, now you go back to the top, because He says He's the branch, or He's the vine and we're the branch. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. What a beautiful relationship this talks about. He that abideth in me and I in him, watch this, the same bringeth forth much fruit. More fruit, much fruit. And this is the thing I really wanted to get to. He said, for without me, you cannot do anything. You cannot do nothing. To me, it's a reminder of how much we need Jesus in our life today. You cannot bear good fruit without Him. I used to say this all the time. If you've got bad fruit, fruit don't start on the limb. Are you with me? Fruit don't start on the limb. Fruit's on the limb, but fruit starts in the root. Life is in the root. I got a few trees in my yard that I planted a couple of years ago just to feed the deer, because that's all they're doing is eating my trees up. I got a couple of peach trees. I got a couple of apple trees. I know where the apple trees are, and I know where the peach trees are, and I know where the deer are. They're eating my trees up. I thought, man, that was about useless to plant these trees. But there's something I learned through this, that as much as I've went out there and I've looked at that peach tree, Brother Russell, that peach tree, as of yet, has not produced one of my yellow delicious apples. I've got a yellow delicious, I've got a red delicious, and I got two southern peaches out there in the yard. And every year, they've been there for several years, but every year, Brother Don, I've went out there and those peach trees bloom about March. Pretty big old pink blooms. Then the worms get all over them and they do all the damage that, you know, deer eat my peaches. But every year I've went out there and I looked at them peach trees. I've literally done this. And you know what? As of yet, those peach trees have not produced a red, delicious apple. Because life is in the root. It is what it is because of the root. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Let me take just about five more minutes. I hope. I'm trying. Honestly, I am. I'm just trying to get to a place. Somebody says, so that's the problem. I got a bad root. If you got a bad root, you're going to have a bad fruit. Your bad root might not have been your fault. It was Satan that came in the garden, and it's a problem that's been a problem with man since the garden. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible says that as many that call upon His name shall be saved. And we shall be able to call Him Abba, Father. That God is wanting to change your root system. God is wanting to take that old black heart, change it. Somebody says, I don't understand how, and actually you don't need to turn there. Actually, Isaiah talks about this. He says, come now, let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, he said, I shall make them white as wool. In the spiritual part, I don't always understand how God does everything that God does, but God does a good job at being God. Come on, somebody. And God can take an old black heart and wash it in perfectly the red blood of Jesus Christ. And God can make you and I as white as snow. He can change the very nature of humanity. He can change our life. He can change who we are. But it requires Him abiding in us, changing us, doing what only God can do. So here's the survey as I move forward in trying to close this thing really fast. You ask yourself today, am I connected? Am I abiding in Him? When you look in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we all know these scriptures very, very well. And you can actually turn there in verse 17, because he talks about this. Let me go back to verse 16. And he talks about this whole struggle with humanity. Paul again was telling the church of Galatia, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Be dominated, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Everybody's controlled by a spirit, but he's talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I don't even have time to get into that right now. But he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, he said, if you're being dominated and controlled by the Holy Spirit, you will not do the things that the flesh wants you to do. I think it was years ago, somebody blamed it on Flip Wilson. I don't know if he was the first one to ever say it or not. I have no idea. But he used to have this thing, said, the devil made me do it. If you're controlled by the devil will make you do it. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have fruit from your root that's going to be a part of abiding in Christ. There's going to be an evidence of the fruitfulness of your life. I'll get there. And he says again, he said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, or just bound to the rules and the regulations of the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. I don't want to have to go through and explain all that today. But he says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness is in there again. Brutality, if you will. Idolatry, witchcraft, which is demonic activity. Drug addiction, drug use, hatred, variance, which is anger and hostility. When you think about emulations, that is quarreling and fighting and feuding all the time. Wrath and strife and seditions and heresies. Envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like. In other words, that's an open-ended conversation. Things that are pertain to these things. He says, Paul writing, and he says, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, which of the which I tell you before, and I've told you in time past, that they that do these things, here it is, here's the seatbelt, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that, God did. You're not rapture ready, you're not heaven bound. If you are involved in these activities, God said that, not Pastor Green. The Bible said, abide in me and I in you. And he said, and you shall bring forth fruit. So quickly this morning, you ask yourself, what am I producing? What kind of fruit am I producing today? If you're producing things that is carnal and things ungodly and things that are wicked, it, my friend, tells you very quickly, my heart is not right with God. It's quiet in the house of God this morning, but it'll help you. It's like a dose of SSS tonic. It might be rough going down, but it'll be good after a while. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Older people know what it is. It's an iron medicine they give us as a kid. Sometimes all you need is a good dose of penicillin, you know, to get over it. God's giving you a little medicine today. God's bringing revelation to your heart. God's speaking to your heart today, and you're sitting there saying, you know what? I don't think my heart's right with God. I don't really think I'm where I need to be with God. But the good news is this. It can be. Abide in me and I in you. You can't do anything of yourself except you abide in me. And my word abides in you. Here's the latter part of this. God not only wants us to grow, He wants us to be connected, and God wants us to be fruitful. What kind of fruit am I producing? He goes from verse 21 into verse number 22, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit, not your spirit, not the spirit of the age, and not the spirit of the world, but God's Holy Spirit. If any man is born again, the Spirit of God dwells within him. Because without the Holy Spirit drawing us and wooing us and bringing us to an acknowledgement of salvation, we're none His. So we know the Spirit draws us. But He says here in this word, but the fruit of the Spirit. Ask yourself today, what is the product of my life? What am I producing today in my life? He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you a person of love? Or are you a person that strives and a person that feeds off of hatred and variance and all these other... What kind of person are you? A person that is filled with the Spirit is a person of love and joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You can read through this and Jesus and just briefly saying that I've told you this and I've wrote this unto you. I told you this whole thing of John 15. He says that your joy might be full. God wants you filled with joy. If you go around angry every day and hateful and mean, you need to do a checkup from the neck up. Because that's not what God wants you, and that's not the way God wants you to live your life. It's not the way God wants me to live my life. So he says, love, joy, peace, long suffering. You know what that means? That means long. Somebody says, don't ever pray for patience. Show me that in the Bible, please, somewhere. Let patience have her perfect work. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes, my friend, if it wasn't for long suffering, I think I'd just slap myself and get it over with. You ever get that way? You just wish you could just slap something. Tell the truth. You're in church. We all do. But I have found that in Him I live, I move. I have found out when I am so frustrated that I think about long suffering. You know what it means to suffering long? Suffering long. Sherry knows me better than anybody, and I try really, really hard. But there are some days it's more complicated than others. But I try to remember God is a Spirit. God, help me. Sometimes I got to get a grip, Brother Russell. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just got to get a grip. You can't let the ways of the flesh overtake you and the things of the Spirit. Somebody, and this is one of the lies of the devil. Is my 5 minutes up? I need somebody else's 5 minutes. I'll get Richard's. I got your 5 minutes right here. I'll get somebody else to. Hey, here's the thing. The Bible says love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, faith, walk by faith and not by sight. The next verse, 23, goes on to say this. Meekness. Somebody says, well, I'm not that weak, brother. Meekness and weakness is not the same thing. And I've had to learn this. Meekness is power under control. Power under authority. His authority. Temperance. Oh, Lord, help my temper. I'm going to be real. Some of you may not know me, but most of you do. Sometimes you just about, you, Brother Chris, not you, but sometimes it would be just so easy just to cuss somebody out and get it over with. You'd feel so much better if you could just tell somebody exactly how you feel about it and to just flip and cuss somebody out. Now tell the truth. But see, as a Christian, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Hello? You say, well, it's not my temperance. The Bible says if you abide in me and I abide in you, then all men shall know that you are my disciples. And we don't do what we will. Are you with me today? So we walk under the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. We walk under the power and the authority of the Spirit. And we conduct ourselves in a manner as Christians that pleases God, that brings glory to His name, and that honors His name. Hey, not only are you a Christian here in the church, but you're a Christian in the home. Hey, I am never without the mantle of a pastor. Sherry and I, we've known each other 43-44 years. She said when she was a little girl, she said, when I get older, I'm going to marry me a preacher. She said that. I didn't know that. But she married a welder that became a preacher. God orchestrated our steps. But even when I'm home, as difficult as it has been in days gone by, Mama Jay, I still have to be her pastor too. I don't get to lay that mantle down. I can't say I've always hit a home run, but she will tell you he's always tried his best. I promise you she'll tell you that. He's always tried his best. Friend, if you'll just put forth your best, let God take care of the rest. You put forth your best, and if you can conscientiously say, I've done my best, let God take care of the rest of it. Stand with me. Father, we love you today. Lord, I pray, God, that you've taken these thoughts today that, God, I felt like you put into my heart to share today before these people and before this congregation. Lord, I pray, God, that as we take and ingest this word, and Lord, there's a whole lot more in John 15 than what I brought out. A whole lot more. Father, I pray, God, that with our effort here today, that, Father God, that you would just touch us. And God, that you would help us, your people, God. Lord, to live for you, to bring glory to your name and to bring honor to your name. And Father, that we glorify your name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I will not embarrass you. I don't embarrass people on purpose. If you're here today, as you bow your head, your eyes are closed, you say, Pastor Green, just pray for me. This message was for me and I've been struggling. Would you just slip that hand up and just say, Pastor, pray for me this week as you pray that God would help me to become the person that He wants me to be. You can put your hands back down now. Now, Father, I pray, God, with every hand that's been raised, that God, that the honesty of their heart says, Lord, help me. Help me, God, to be the person that you want me to be. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be dispatched right now to their heart. And God, that you would encourage them in their walk with you. And Father, we love you and we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Right before you guys leave, I want Kay to come back in here and do a couple more family pictures if y'all want to do that.